Well, welcome back to the Apprentice series. This is the podcast where we are asking the question, what did Jesus really start? My name is Becky and I am joined by Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Becky. Great to be here again.
And we're going on this journey of unpacking what does it truly mean to follow Jesus and what does it mean to grow spiritually? And whether you are asking the question A or question B, what does it mean to follow Jesus or what does it mean to grow spiritually? This journey that we're going on is for you and we hope that it's really beneficial to you. We have kicked this off with in episode one talking about this word apprenticeship and following and what does it mean to think about the thing that Jesus invited people into as a following first, not necessarily a believing first, which is what many of us may have been told that being a Christian, being a Jesus person is about assenting on the line, yes, I believe X, Y, and Z about Jesus. And that's step one. But that Jesus invited people, step one, follow me.
Yeah.
Come and figure out what I'm about and come and see what it's like to walk behind me. So where are we going today, Chris?
Yeah, so we are going to talk today about what the goal is, if you like, what we're aiming for. So when Jesus says, come follow me, what's the end goal of that that he had in mind and that we should have in mind? So again, we've talked about this language of apprenticing. Now, apprenticing is a bit different to studying. Apprenticing is about kind of learning on the job. If you think about people in our day and age who take on apprenticeships, it's a really good thing to do, but they are often learning, well, they are learning from somebody who's a more skilled practitioner than they are, who's kind of gone ahead of them, who knows what it means to do the thing that they're doing, be that apprentice hairdressers or plumbers or electricians or engineers or whatever it might be, that they are learning as they do, and they are learning by watching and seeing and being trained by somebody else. And the goal of that apprenticeship is that those people become or are equipped to be hairdressers, plumbers, engineers, you know, whatever it might be. And that is the kind of language that Jesus used when talking about following him. Often in the Bible, you read the word disciple, come and be a disciple or make disciples or whatever it might be, could also be translated apprentice, come and apprentice, make apprentices of me. So Jesus is saying, like we would understand apprenticeship to be, the goal is to learn from me, look like me, be able to do the things that you see me doing, to live the way I'm living. And as you go through life, whilst you're on the job, I'm going to help you do that. So we're going to talk today about what the goal of this following journey, this apprenticeship is. I've alluded to it a little bit already, becoming like Jesus. And I really want to unpack that today. And what does that actually mean?
Yeah, there was this book that it's probably, you might class it as an old book now, Start With Why by Simon Sinek, caused quite a ripple when it first came out. And Simon Sinek has done lots of public speaking and podcasting off the back of this concept that when we know the why, when we know the reason, the cause, we are so much more motivated and we can stay truer to the thing that we really care about and believe in. And organizations can stay true to that and individuals can stay true to that when we know our why. And he talks about this kind of like toddler exercise of like, you know, how toddlers just are like, why? And then the answer is given by the parent, and then it's like, why?
Yeah.
And I guess we want to do a little bit of that today, don't we? Yes. Like, well, why?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Simon Sinek. We've talked a little bit about it before off air, as it were. That book is a great book. And I guess when I've seen him speaking and I've heard him speaking a lot, he's encouraging organizations, companies, and that kind of stuff to really get to their why. So not like, you know, pick a mobile phone company. What's the why for a mobile phone company? Well, some mobile phone companies would say, who make phones, would say, well, our why is to build great phones. And Simon Sinek would say, no, that's not the why. That's what you do. Why do you, and he would help companies really unpack. And of course, the why behind a mobile phone is to enable relationships to grow deeper as people are able to communicate with one another. And when a company, and he cites Apple a lot, really understand what they're doing, then that makes a huge difference. And that might, that goal might be delivered by a mobile phone, but it might be delivered by some other way as well. So he talks a lot about that. And again, I think there's so much parallel with that. And maybe we haven't talked about this in church enough, and we're talking about debunking some myths, or is there, are there better ways to help people grow in their faith and that kind of stuff. Maybe we haven't, we've talked about you know, Jesus a lot, we've talked about being saved, we've talked about what Jesus did in his death and resurrection, all of which of course hugely important, but maybe we haven't done enough on the, well, why do I need to become more like Jesus? So we're going to try and unpack today what the goal of this journey of faith is. What's the why?
That deep why exercise is such an important one for all of us to go on, isn't it? In episode one, we talked about the paths that we might follow, and knowing why I have chosen to set my life in a certain direction is so important. And people will sometimes ask, will have questions of like, oh, why did you choose to do that at university? Why have you made that career move? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do the things that you do? And if you are a Christian, you will have had plenty of why questions. If you're not a Christian, you've got why questions that you might interrogate yourself with about, well, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why did I make that choice? And other people might ask you, well, why do you value that above this? Or and we want to like dig underneath that and figure out, well, if I made Jesus my cue for the way I did things, then how would I explain my why? Why do I follow? And what is the kind of goal that that is oriented towards? And maybe that's going to help some of us in having conversations with people about spiritual things, that we actually know the deep why and not just the surface level why, you know?
Yeah.
So you've talked about, you've given us a little bit of a definition already, Chris, of like, what's the goal? What is the why of being an apprentice of Jesus? Just say it one more time for us so we have it in our minds.
So what the goal of apprenticing? Yeah. So if, again, just think about the parallel with an apprentice for a job or whatever, but actually, you know, often many of us would describe our jobs as part of who we are, right? So I'm a engineer, plumber, hairdresser, I'm a whatever. So the goal of the apprentice is to become skilled in or learned how to do that thing. So the apprenticing of Jesus, if we take that thing, is I'm a becoming the Jesus follower that he always intended for me to be, and I'm learning how to do that by looking at who he is.
Yeah.
and the things he did, and following. We talked yesterday about we talked the other week about the path that Jesus is laid out for us.
Yeah, there's I often talk about it either as it's becoming more like Jesus, trusting more to Jesus, and participating in Jesus's mission.
Yeah.
Or Jesus's work. And there's this guy James Chung who I have been really inspired by recently. He's a author and communicator and a teacher as well. And he talks about the goal of doing the things Jesus did for the reasons he did them.
Yeah.
And I really like that one, because often we might get so far as understanding that our goal is to do things like Jesus, but we miss that it's the why, as in we think, well, I must do things like Jesus, but we forget that it's for the reasons he did them. And therefore our following becomes about performing.
Yeah.
And demonstrating that we are trying to look like Jesus. So trying to be kinder than others, trying to be less sweary than others, and not being motivated by the love and, well, all the things that we're going to talk about that motivated Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where character comes in, isn't it? That
yeah.
It's becoming like him in his character.
Yes.
Not just from the outside looking in, looking like him.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And again, and I think, again, the why, if people are saying, okay, well, that sounds great. Why do I need to look like Jesus? Why do I need to become more like Jesus? Again, to thinking of our toddler, this go, why? Jesus modeled for us, I think, and many others would think, the way to be fully human. And many of us, I think all of us probably would say, this experience we're having of being human this can't be it, you know, because we don't feel like we're experiencing all that it means. This can't be all it means to be human. And when we see how we are as human beings, and the big we of who we are, you know, we fight at personal levels, we fight, you know, globally, we fight nation to nation, you know, all of that kind of stuff. There seems to be a lot of pain and suffering and anguish and worry and anxiety and all of that sort of stuff in our human existence. I think most of us would say this can't be what it means to be completely human. And then if we factor God into that, regardless of what we believe about God, if perhaps if you're not a believer in God or not a follower of Jesus, just hold that for a moment and say, well, if there is a God, and if God made human beings and loves human beings, this can't be all that God intends for humanity to experience. So in Jesus, though, Christians would believe that he is a model of what it looks like to be fully human, fully engaged in the pain of human existence, but also finding connection, intimate relationship with a heavenly Father, connection intimately with other people, ways to bring goodness and love and healing and restoration into the world, all of that sort of stuff. So Jesus gives us this model of what it means to be fully human, as I would believe God intends for it, for humanity to be, and a foretaste of what it looks like for the whole of humanity and the whole of creation to be restored. So following him, apprenticing him, becoming more like him will give us more of what it means to be completely human. So the goal of apprenticing Jesus is actually, it's about becoming more fully human, more fully who God intended for us to be. And so, you know, that for me is the deep why of why should I follow Jesus? Well, because in doing so, I will encounter what it means to be fully human and fully connected to God as Jesus was, with all the ways that God has made that possible for that to happen through being saved in the death and resurrection of Jesus into that relationship with a heavenly Father. So that for me, that's the deep why, the goal of following Jesus.
Yeah, we can all probably resonate with this sense, as you say, of feeling like this isn't quite fully what life should be like. And also just looking around and thinking, you know, humans, we've really not cracked the whole being human thing. And you might have had moments in like that in your life, like I've not really cracked how to be me, how to live well. I know I certainly have felt like that many, many times. Yes. And I will get to the end of a day and think, oh, I did not Becky well today. and actually that maybe that's the invitation of Jesus is come and I'll teach you who you were made to be. Mm. And he's the perfect image of that. Not that we become clones of one man who lived 2,000 years ago, but that we reflect who he is, his character, his values, his mission, his purpose into the world. You may be thinking, well, whoa, like I thought you said I didn't have to believe things yet. As we're going to talk today about what that actually looks like, and what I would encourage any listeners to think about is how much of this the character that we see reflected in Jesus is the stuff that almost self-evidently we aspire to as people, as humans, as societies. How much of this is the stuff that we elevate in our movies and in our stories? And I think that's a fascinating thing to think through, how perfectly Jesus represents the ideals that pretty universally humans hold up and say, that's what I am trying to be more like. So could we talk a little bit about, if we're talking about becoming like Jesus, what was Jesus?
Well, I mean, again, we were encouraging people on our last episode to get into the accounts of his life, these just vivid pictures that we have painted for us in the accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, of Jesus' life in the New Testament. We talked about some of the vivid pictures were being painted for us in the Chosen TV series that we love. But also we have some people who reflected on the life of Jesus after his life and pointed out for us what he was like. People who were either there and saw him and observed, who were following him or who became followers of him very quickly afterwards and were friends with people who were there. And one of those, Paul wrote this letter in the New Testament, the part of the Bible, to the Philippians, a bunch of people in a place called Philippi. And in that, I think he just reflects brilliantly on what the nature and character of Jesus was. And so I think, again, you know, we're so fortunate to have these amazing accounts for us. It's one of the reasons why we're so passionate about the Bible and encouraging people to engage with it, because there we find these amazing things that are told to us about Jesus and about other things as well. So shall I read a few of these today? Do you want to read it? What should we do? Okay, so this is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And what I can encourage you to do this, Becky, and to encourage our listeners to do this. As I read this, maybe just, you know, spot some words that give us some indicators into the character of Jesus and what he was like. It says this: therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So, I'm just going to comment on this. So Paul is saying, look, you know, if you want to be connected with Jesus, then look to reflect some of the qualities and characteristics that he reflected. And then he tells us some. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So there, you know, Paul is giving us these character traits of Jesus. Were any that kind of jumped out at you as we were just reading through that?
Well, straight off the top, the humility, not doing things out of selfish ambition, and looking to the interests of others, not just valuing the interests of yourself. I think they probably stick out because they're the ones that most fly in the face of my natural inclination,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I love that. And that, like, is a resonant theme, isn't it? That theme of humility, of serving others, just on and on throughout those verses, I think. And I love just those two or three points where Paul's saying, you know, be like Jesus in these things. Have the same mindset. Be united with Christ. And therefore, have the same love that he had. Be in one spirit and one mind with him. I think that's Paul saying, apprentice him. In the ways that we've been saying that. So we've highlighted so much of them. Don't do things out of selfish ambition. Value others above yourselves. Serve one another. And again, just such a striking picture. He took on the very nature of a servant. And again, just to try and grasp something of that, you know, here is the Son of God coming and serving others, which is just an extraordinary thing. And he was obedient and even went to his death on a cross to serve others, to make a way for other people to be in a relationship with God. So always prioritizing others above himself. And yeah, like you, I find that deeply challenging.
Do you know what I love about this picture is when we hear an invitation to become like Jesus, it sounds at first completely unattainable. You know, we might think about sort of, oh, well, I must be perfect. I must never put a foot wrong. I must always say and do the right thing. And instantly we know we're not going to live up to that. And for some of us, depending on our personality, that might make us think, well, I won't try altogether in that case. But what I love about this is if the character of Jesus that's being elevated here is humility, putting himself in a position where he was sacrificing himself, valuing others above himself, there is nobody who isn't qualified to do that. And actually, humility is one thing that, whilst it flies in the face of our natural inclinations, it's something that human beings can do endlessly. As in, there's nowhere that you are in life where you can't decide, I'm going to put this person in front of me above myself right now. Like, that's it's hard to do.
Yeah.
But nobody's disqualified from it. You haven't got to train for it. You haven't got to be educated to do it. You haven't got to have any means to do it. You could be at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
And actually, by being at the bottom of the barrel, you're better placed to act in humility and putting others above yourself. And I just love that the thing that we're being called to here is to get low, not to raise ourselves up. And that is accessible to absolutely everybody, even though it is a hard thing for the human spirit to do. I just think that's a leveler.
Yeah.
You know, it just means there's nobody who does it. No one can compete in humility either,
yes.
Right?
Like, yeah.
You're just putting yourself at the bottom. It's not a competition. It's not about weighing yourself up against others. It's just deciding to serve.
Yeah. And again, the picture that I have there, I'm thinking of, you know, some of the people who would have read this or who Paul was learning from in terms of what the life of Jesus, they would have been there when Jesus lowered himself. I love your language there about lowering, coming lower, lowered himself to wash their dirty, smelly, kind of grimy feet. So again, when we're talking about apprenticing Jesus, that, you know, we are talking about being able to see how he actually lived this out. So we've got some examples in these words of Paul about, you know, that very graphic example of lowering himself to go to the cross to die. But even before that, we'd had these graphic examples of Jesus, you know, washing people's feet, the job that would have been there for a servant. So, you know, we get to see kind of, you know, how Jesus actually did this in the same way that somebody apprenticing somebody else would see how they were doing whatever it is they're aspiring to do. Now, that's not to say that there's, you know, there's a literal washing of feet, but that picture of putting ourselves into a low position to serve other people, maybe at times where it's messy and mucky to do that, to help people and serve them in that way. I just love, again, that's why I love this apprenticing language, because, you know, you've got somebody who showed what this looks like in Jesus. And I'm sure that would have been at least in some of their minds when they were reading this, knowing, oh yeah, do you remember when Jesus did this or that, or served in this way or that way? And we've got a picture of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not kind of ethereal and abstract, is it? It's very, very tangible. It's like, remember, you know, as you say, they would have had memories in their minds, some of them, of Jesus literally wrapping an apron around his waist and washing feet, going to the cross, like we're talking like a very gritty, in the truest sense of the word, description of what this looks like. Very, very tangible.
Yes.
And very real world applicable, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm.
And again, you know, we go back to that sort of what big why we're digging into, because actually this is what it should mean to be fully human. You know, imagine the human race doing this, you know, serving one another, putting others' needs above themselves. I mean, you can imagine the change that makes. But also, let's be a little bit confrontational here in terms of how Christians have lived this out. Again, you don't have to go very far these days to find Christians who look like they're miles away from humbling themselves to prioritize the needs of somebody else. You know, they're fighting their corner or fighting their political cause or, you know, whatever it might be, arguing about stuff or out of fear often, arguing or berating other people, or you just kind of think, I don't get, you know, that. And I'm not saying anybody's perfect here, you know, we're all guilty of all sorts of different things, but again, I just think, how does that look like this? So those of us who are Jesus, we need to really watch out for this stuff. We're far from perfect, we're not going to get it right a lot of the time, but we need to take care in this and make sure we understand what Jesus is calling us into and what he modeled for us.
Mm-hmm. So just thinking of people listening, maybe there's the high achievers out there thinking, can I ace this? Mm. Can I ace following Jesus? How would you respond to that, Chris?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, I think we said in the previous episode, this is a lifelong journey, you know, so I think we can ace becoming ever more like Jesus. I think I don't think we'll ever, reach the goal because we're not perfect. We fall a long way short of that kind of stuff. I think what we can celebrate is the moments in our lives where we see this lived out. Now, if that means acing it, then yes, or we can celebrate the moments where we see other people doing it. And that's often easier maybe sometimes to spot. So, you know, if we see somebody serving somebody or reaching down to lift somebody up or to help somebody and you know, something amazing happens in that moment. If that's our definition of acing it, then yeah, we've aced it there. That's fantastic. If our definition of acing it is every day, every moment, I look exactly like Jesus looked. Well, I think that's a long way off for many of us, most of us, all of us maybe. But I don't think that should stop us from taking great joy and great satisfaction or contentment, not in a prideful way, but out of those moments where we or other people are reflecting the image of Jesus. Because I don't think we do that enough either. I don't think sometimes we say, just take a step back and say, we can see Jesus in this moment, in this relational moment, in this beautiful moment that happens. Actually, that's pretty cool because that feels like the way Jesus lived.
I wonder if that this has a lot to do with how we understand the rewards of following Jesus. So we may tend towards like wanting to achieve really well and do it really well if we believe that the reward is a pat on the back from Jesus and saying, hey, you're really getting good at this. Or we may feel discouraged if we believe that the reward is that sort of affirmation from Jesus, hey, you're doing a great job, or affirmation from others, hey, you're doing this great. And if we feel we can't live up to it or we're not living up to it well, whatever it is, because as we've said, it's a journey. And we may feel discouraged by that if we think the reward is a pat on the back. But as you've mentioned several times in this podcast, if it's about being made into the person that we're created to be, if it's about becoming fully human, then we will experience the reward within ourselves and within our lives, as in it's not about an external pat on the back or someone saying, oh yeah, you're doing a good job, or oh no, you're not doing a great job. It's just about living out the outcome of aligning ourselves with being the human being we were created to be, that we live, we experience life in that, we experience joy in that, we experience hope in that. It's more a outcome that necessarily follows than an outcome that we're trying to earn. And
it's, yes, it does totally. And I think when we experience those moments, we feel a deep connection to God. And I think that's our human, the human spirit that God created in us resonating with our creator in that moment where we go, and we feel that deep sense of connection with God. And I think that happens in all sorts of ways. And I don't think we should be scared to celebrate that. But I think you're absolutely right. We've got to be really careful about striving for that rather than looking to follow in the paths of Jesus.
Yeah.
And as an outcome of that, experiencing these moments where we feel a deep connection to God and enjoying that and celebrating it, reveling in it.
And that takes us back full circle to what we've talked about in episode one, which is that invitation to follow me. Talked a lot about the word follow and less about the word me. And the invitation to follow me means we're going on this together. I love the first time that happens in the Mark's account of Jesus's life. The word that's used the first time is literally just like, get behind me, like come and walk right behind me. And that means that it's personal and we're not alone in it. And it's not I will stand over here and I will wait for you to catch me up. It's a come with me and we'll go on this journey together.
Yeah. And one of the images that's come to mind is just as you were sharing that is we were talking about that moment where Jesus washes his friend's feet. And one of those friends, Peter, who's been with him for 3 years, you know, apprenticing him, goes, no, you can't, you know, and Jesus, you know, patiently kind of goes, no, this is something that's really important and significant. So we should be so encouraged by that, you know, that in that moment, Peter's still working it all out. And Jesus kindly, gently says, no, let me show you, and that's the, I think that's for me a really wonderful picture of this journey of following that Jesus calls us into, that, you know, you're not going to get it sometimes, but again, just let me show you again what this really means. And I think that's a beautiful picture.
There we go. So I hope this has begun to answer some of your why questions as you listen. Well, why apprentice under Jesus? In order that we would become like him and be reflecting his character and his mission and his purpose in the world. And why do that? Because that's the human thing. That's what we were created to do. Any next steps for people, Chris, off the back of this conversation specifically?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? I want to keep drawing people back to some of the stuff we said in episode one. The more we can see Jesus, the more we see the why and the more we see the goal. So I just want to keep encouraging people to, look at those pictures of Jesus, and we get them through the words that are written about him in the accounts of his life, reflections on those, the Chosen TV series we've talked about. So for me, it's very similar next steps to episode one, really. It's just, let's keep pressing into who Jesus was, what he did, and the model that he presents to us of what it means to be fully human.
Yeah. So just to recap how you can watch this series, The Chosen, which is a multi-season series inspired by the life of Jesus. You can get that on season one is available on Netflix. If you have a subscription to Netflix, it's available for free on YouTube and also for free at chosen.tv. Thank you so much for listening. We really hope that this has inspired you. We hope that it's given you some fresh things to think about. And we hope that it encourages you to keep listening as we continue on this journey of figuring out what is this thing that Jesus started here on the Apprentice series. Thank you so much, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Becky.